Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is September 26th, 2017, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is We Are the Champions of Pediatric Urine Samples, and our guest skeptic is Dr. Natalie May. Natalie trained as an emergency physician with a subspecialty in pediatric emergency medicine in the UK and worked in Manchester and Oxford before moving to Australia in 2015 to work for Sydney's HEMS. She's been there for the last 18 months working in the pre-hospital and retrieval medicine and then in the emergency department while trying to work out what to do with the rest of her life. She is a medical educator, powerhouse, and enthusiast, and has been an editor and regular contributor to the St. Emlyn's blog and podcast since 2012. She loves running and currently has 7 different kinds of tea in her house. Is that one type of tea for each of the 7 C's?
Yeah, and one for every day of the week.
Oh, great. Okay, well, it's great to have you on the SGM, Natalie.
It's an honor and a pleasure to be here, Ken. Thank you for having me.
Well, we have some history that involves dancing, singing on your part, not on mine for sure, and running.
Yeah, some healthcare professionals are amazingly talented when it comes to music and the arts, and others are enthusiastic. So I put us both in the latter category, Ken, but we had a lot of fun on stage at SMAC Chicago with our song and dance off on the subject of the SMAC run.
Yeah, it was a parody of Jimmy Fallon's White Pants sketch, and I'll put a link in the show notes for everybody. But what's new in the world of Natalie May? I gave you a big intro, but what are you doing down under these days?
Well, I'm settling into life in Australia. I've just been awarded fellowship of the Australasian College of Emergency Medicine. And it's spring here, so the weather's warming up. But with the water temperature of 18 degrees, I haven't braved the sea just yet.
And any other news from across the world, from St. Emlyn's, that you want to mention?
Well, we've got some really exciting super secret plans for our podcast that I can't really tell you about just yet, but hopefully we're going to reveal soon. And meanwhile, we're really blessed to have an amazing team of contributors with a diverse range of interests, all supporting one another. And we love to have guest submissions. So if you've got ideas you want to talk about, then just send them over to us and we'll have a look.
Oh, I have ideas. But give us a case that we're going to talk about today.
Okay. You're working the afternoon shift in the pediatric emergency department, and there's been that usual busy after school, after work period. The shift is almost over, and the department finally seems to be under control. The next patient you see is a 5-month-old girl who's been brought by her parents with a history of fever and vomiting in the last 24 hours. She hasn't had any diarrhea, maybe yet, and her parents have noticed she seems particularly miserable when she's producing wet nappies or diapers, which she's doing more frequently than often. You wonder whether it might be a urinary tract infection, a UTI, causing her symptoms, and you explain to the parents the importance of a clean catch urine sample. They look at you in total despair. All 3 of them are tired and they really want to go home, and you know that it can take some time to get a urine sample in this age group. So you wonder, is there a quicker way to get the wee?
Well, urine samples are frequently obtained in a pediatric emergency department to rule in or rule out UTIs in those children with vomiting, fever, abdominal pain, and nonspecific illnesses.
In 2016, the American Academy of Pediatrics, AAP, reaffirmed their clinical practice guidelines for the diagnosis and management of UTIs, and they state that the diagnosis of a UTI requires a urinalysis and a urine culture.
Obtaining that sample, though, can be particularly tricky and potentially messy in children who are not yet continent. The rationale for definitive diagnosis includes ensuring good antibiotic stewardship. Missed UTIs can lead to renal scarring and other delayed pathology, and a presumptive diagnosis can result in expensive and unnecessary imaging.
The decision to obtain an invasive sample is a clinical one. So if the child looks sick and requires antimicrobial therapy, then immediate collection of a urine sample through urethral catheterization or suprapubic aspiration is recommended strongly by the AAP.
However, if the child looks well, but the clinician determines that the febrile infant is not in the low-risk group for a UTI, the AAP recommends two options. The first option, or option one, is to obtain the urine sample using an invasive method.
The second option is a two-step approach to identification of a UTI. This two-step approach can decrease the rate of catheterization by over 30% without missing UTIs or increasing length of stay in the pediatric emergency department. That comes from a paper by Lavelle et al. In Pediatrics in 2016.
The first step is to screen using a non-invasive collection method like a bagged urine specimen. If that sample is negative, and what I mean by negative is that there's no evidence of a UTI, then cultures may be admitted. The second step is needed if the bag sample results in a positive or shows evidence of a UTI.
Non-invasive methods are preferable for all but those at risk of neonatal sepsis or that ill-appearing infant. However, catching a fresh sample is an act of skill. Parents often miss the first week, so it can be really time-consuming.
Well, just for completeness, Natalie, the AAP does make a strong recommendation that if the clinician determines that the febrile infant to have a low likelihood of a UTI, then no urine testing is necessary as long as there is clinical follow-up monitoring.
An open access study published this year in the BMJ suggests a new method called the QuickWee could speed up collection of CleanCatch urine samples in patients for whom we're considering a diagnosis of UTI.
So, what's the clinical question we're going to try to answer today?
Does the QuickWee method increase the success rate of getting a CleanCatch urine collection in infants suspected of having a UTI?
And the reference?
This is from Kaufman et al. And their paper is called Faster CleanCatch Urine Collection, QuickWee Method, from Infants, Randomized Controlled Trial. That was in the BMJ in April 2017.
All right, let's run through the PICO. What was the population?
It was pre-continent infants aged between 1 and 12 months where a urine sample was required and the clinician felt the appropriate method of collection was a CleanCatch urine.
And they excluded neonates, and that's defined as age less than 1 month, and infants with neurologic or anatomical abnormalities affecting sensation or voiding. What was the intervention?
It was the QuickWee method.
Oh, well, we better explain this a bit then. So what they did was they cleaned the genital area for 10 seconds with sterile water at room temperature.
This was followed by continued rubbing of the suprapubic area in a circular pattern with gauze soaked in cold saline, kept in the fridge at 2.8 degrees C to be precise, and held by forceps.
This was done until CleanCatch urine was obtained, up to 5 minutes.
A parent or caregiver or clinician stood by ready to catch that urine sample.
And then what did they compare it to?
The comparison was usual care. So the genital area was cleaned for 10 seconds with sterile water at room temperature. And then a parent or caregiver or clinician stood by ready to catch the urine sample whenever it came.
All right. So they had some primary and secondary outcomes. What was the primary outcome?
That was the proportion of subjects voiding urine within 5 minutes. So that's a binary outcome.
And the secondary outcome?
That was voiding with successful catch of the urine sample, the rates of contamination, and the parental and clinician satisfaction with the technique using a 5-point Likert scale.
And I'm just going to point out the 5-point Likert scale went from 1, very satisfied, to 5, very unsatisfied. And we're going to talk about that scale a bit more in the nerdy section. The author's conclusions were, quote, QuickWee is a simple cutaneous stimulation method that significantly increases the 5-minute voiding and success rate of CleanCatch urine collection. End of quote. All right, Natalie, let's run through the quality checklist for RCTs, those randomized clinical trials. The first question, are these ED patients?
Yes, they absolutely are.
And did they randomize them adequately?
Yes, they used a 1-to-1 ratio with random permuted blocks of different sizes using envelopes taken sequentially.
And did they conceal the randomization?
Yes, they used opaque envelopes.
And did they analyze the groups in which they were randomized?
Yes, they performed an intention to treat analysis.
Did they recruit the patients consecutively?
Now, this one I'm not really sure about.
All right, were the patients in both groups similar with respect to prognostic factors?
Yes, they were. There were no p-values given, but the values in Table 1 on the paper appear similar.
You said that with such a straight face. No p-values were given. I love it. Okay, number 7. All participants, were they unaware of group allocation?
No, this was not a blinded study.
And all groups, were they treated equally except for the intervention?
Yes, the study intervention was very quick with a binary outcome, so there's really little opportunity to add in any potential confounders.
Was their follow-up complete?
Yes.
Did they consider all patient important outcomes?
I think so, yes.
And the final question, the treatment effect, was it large enough and precise enough to be clinically significant?
Yes, to that one too.
All right, let's run through the key results. They had close to 350 subjects divided into two groups, and the mean age was just over 5 months, with about a 50-50 split between male and female children. The most common clinical indication for urine collection was a fever, 42%. And this was followed by an unsettled baby, 38%. Only 17% of infants had urine collected because a UTI was specifically suspected. What's the primary outcome, though, Natalie?
So for voiding within 5 minutes, 31% had managed that with the quick wee method versus 12% with usual care.
So this gives an absolute difference of 19%, or a number needed to cue wee of 5. How about secondary outcomes?
They had a higher success rate with quick wee overall. There was no difference in contamination, and they found greater parent and clinician satisfaction. And we'll put some details about that in the blog post.
All right. Let's talk nerdy. Now, there were more than 5 issues I wanted to touch upon, so I combined a few to get to my favorite number of 5. You get to start with number 1, Natalie.
So let's start off with selection bias and external validity. There are some question marks over the integrity of the selection procedure. Patients were identified and recruited by ED staff, which is great because it's really practical, but it looks as though those same staff may then have undertaken the intervention, and that creates a potential for bias if the recruiting staff are also undertaking the intervention. The published study protocol, which is also open access, doesn't really give us any further clarity here, so we have to assume that there was a lack of independence in those observers.
It's also important to point out that this was a single center, large, tertiary pediatric hospital in Australia. The population may or may not reflect the same pediatric population you have presenting to your community or rural emergency department. They also excluded neonates and those over 12 months of age, and so the results cannot be applied to these age groups.
Number 2 is a lack of blinding. So there was no blinding in the study, which the authors tell us was because of the nature of the intervention. That seems fair, as the observer will naturally be aware of which method of obtaining the sample was used. However, there were missed opportunities to use blinding in this study. The person starting the timer could have been independent, standing outside the cubicle and measuring 5 minutes or until the observer came out of the cubicle with a sample.
In addition, the researchers assessing the data could have been blinded to which intervention group each data set came from. This is the simplest way of introducing blinding into a study, but is rarely utilized in isolation. And perhaps it should be used more.
Number 3, let's talk about statistical significance and clinical significance. So the sample size was calculated with 80% power to detect a difference of 15% between groups in the primary outcome, and that sample size was achieved. The difference in proportions was 19%, with a 95% confidence interval that went from 11 to 28%. This gives us an NNT of 5 to successfully obtain one additional sample within 5 minutes. But technically, the lower end of the confidence interval is 11, which is lower than 15. But for an intervention like this, I'm not really sure that that has a significant bearing.
Well, with regards to that statement, I'm going to talk about clinical significance. And they interviewed 20 experts. These were pediatric emergency medicine specialists and pediatricians. And based on their expert opinion, they felt it would need a difference of 15% to be clinically significant to their clinical practice. What about asking the parents and caregivers what they think would be clinically significant? We know that clinicians and patients can have different levels of what they would consider significant.
Number 4, let's talk about adverse events and contamination. There were no adverse events in either group, excluding crying and mild distress, which was thought to be a standard for children in whom you're trying to obtain a urine sample, and I'm inclined to agree with that.
And there also seemed to be a lower rates of contamination in the quick wee method. However, the study was not designed or powered for this secondary outcome. The authors hypothesize this might be because the sample is obtained, quote, faster and more forceful voiding, end of quote, and that could reduce contamination.
In any case, contamination rates were pretty low in both groups, actually. It should be noted that culture results were only available for 55 patients in total. That's 12 out of the 44 samples sent for culture in the quick regroup that grew contaminants, with 5 out of 11 in the control group. There was no robustness around this measure, since sending the sample for culture was apparently at the clinician's discretion.
If the method really does reduce the proportion of contaminants, then that would make it a bit of a game changer. But based on the available evidence from this study, we cannot draw that conclusion about the quick wee method.
And finally, number 5, satisfaction scores. So this was pretty crudely measured too. They used the old 5-point Likert scale.
However, it was a little counterintuitive. In the paper, they used 1 meaning very satisfied and 5 to mean very unsatisfied.
That's certainly a little bit unusual. But a higher score doesn't suggest higher satisfaction in that case. The median satisfaction scores for parents and clinicians were 2 for quick wee and 3 for the standard clean catch urine, suggesting they were more satisfied with the quick wee method.
All right, that's enough nerdiness. Let's comment on the author's conclusions and compare them to the SGEM's conclusion.
We generally agree with the author's conclusion. Children aged 1 to 12 months do seem more likely to pass urine within 5 minutes if the quick wee method is used.
All right, can you give us a SGEM bottom line?
I think that if you have 5 minutes to spare, you can increase the proportion of infants in whom a clean catch urine sample can be obtained using the quick wee method.
And how about a case resolution?
So you suggest to the parents that now the department is a little less busy, you could try the quick wee method to make their infant pass urine a little bit faster. After a brief explanation of what's involved, they agree. After about 90 seconds of cold saline suprapubic stimulation, you successfully have a clean catch urine sample.
And everybody goes, "Wee!" All right, how are you going to take this information and apply it clinically?
Well, this certainly seems like a relatively quick, reasonably effective way of increasing your chances of obtaining a clean catch urine within 5 minutes. If you've got the staff to spare to spend 5 minutes rubbing the suprapubic area of your patients with cold saline soaked gauze, then great. However, we might not get 5 minutes of uninterrupted stimulation in the ED before something more urgent comes through the door.
So what are you going to tell the patient? But in this case, it would be the parent or caregiver.
I'd tell them that it's really important that we get a clean catch urine sample from your infant. We want to make sure the urine we get doesn't have any contamination from the skin. This means if we get a sample with no signs of infection in it, we know the fever is most likely not from a urinary tract infection. If there are signs of infection in the sample, we'll need to put a catheter inside your infant's bladder to get a better sample of urine. And this can be uncomfortable for your infant, which is why we really like to try to get a clean sample. However, waiting to catch a clean catch sample can be a really long process, but there's a new method called the quick wee method that can increase the chance we get some urine in less than 5 minutes. It involves rubbing just over their bladder with a cold gauze pad. There is no harm to your infant other than they might get a bit fussy and cry. So if you're happy, we can give it a wee go.
All right, it's time for the Keener contest. Last week's winner was Timothy, and I will mispronounce your last name, so I'm not going to say it. He's a PGY1 EM resident from Wright State University. Tim knew the first membrane oxygenator was developed way back in 1885. Natalie, what's the question this week?
In which cult movie does the titular character advocate the use of, and I quote here, unadulterated child's piss in his attempt to avoid a drink driving or DUI charge?
If you know the answer to this week's Keener question, then send an email to thesgem@gmail.com with Keener in the subject line. The first correct answer will receive a cool skeptical prize. Now, there is some other FOMED resources on this issue. The first one is from St. Emlyn's. What's it called?
So it's a journal club post called The Quick Wee Method for Faster Clean Catch Urine Collection.
And then there's also one from Pamlet. What's that one called?
Yeah, that's my other secret pediatric emergency medicine literature appraisal project. And that's called What Are We Waiting For? The Quick Wee Method for Faster Clean Catch Urine Collection.
Well, thank you, Natalie, for coming on the SGEM.
Thank you so much for having me as a guest skeptic, Ken.
And now you're all the way down in the land of Oz, and I'm in the Great White North, which is Canada. When are we going to actually see each other again?
I'm sure we'll meet at a conference somewhere soon, maybe the Bad EM conference next year in Cape Town, or maybe we'll have to wait until Sydney for SMAC 2019.
it will be a long wait to spend more time with you. But until then, can you give the SGEM tagline?
Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next time.